All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for a little discussion on this thing called indoor navigation. My name is Nick Such. I run a startup out of Kentucky called Building Layer. And when we started about 6 months ago, I was looking around and trying to figure out, what are indoor maps? What is indoor positioning? How do we navigate inside buildings? And I found out there wasn't a whole lot out there yet. There's this strange new frontier. As soon as you cross over from the outside world, we have all these great maps that tell you how to get directions with your car and, where to find the best restaurant. As soon as you get inside a building, how do you find your way to this room? How many of you struggle a little bit finding Salon J in Hilton? All right. Very cool. So the three gentlemen sitting here are going to solve all of your problems. So I'm really excited today to have with us Josh Marty from Point Inside, Ankit Agarwal from Mycelo, and Chris Broadfoot from Google. Want to kind of give a high-level overview of what this whole indoor thing is, how you can start using some of these tools today, and some interesting apps out there that will solve your problems, as well as where this is going in the future and why you won't get lost trying to find this room next year at South by Southwest. So I want to start off asking our panelists the most basic question I can think of. What are indoor maps?
Yeah, sure. So Josh Marty from Point Inside. For us, indoor maps are really just a layer on which we serve up all sorts of contextual awareness with respect to an activity. For us specifically, it's shopping and retail. We try to guide people throughout the aisle, throughout the shopping experience in big box, and then pair them up with the offers that are around them that are within reach, similar to the way the online metaphors work, where they're trying to enhance your experience based on knowledge about where you're navigating on the internet. So we see a real parallel between the way the online experience has gone down in terms of trying to organize the content around you when you're sitting at your PC, and what the missing ingredient for the physical world has been indoor maps. You need some sort of base layer with which you can organize all of the content around you to then create a physical experience. And in a mobile world, the fact that you have that computing platform in your hand everywhere you go, the maps serve as the basis for all of the products around you, the people around you, the events around you. And what's missing is that last 10 feet, if you will, with respect to where to go. So, this should be a good discussion today.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ankit. I'm with Mycelo. For us, indoor maps is just a really interesting piece of data, really interesting content. So what we've done is figured out how to create it effectively, quickly, and make it available. So our focus is on being more of an infrastructure provider or a layer in the ecosystem where companies can access maps from us and use an application. So the end vision for us is there's tens of thousands of location-aware applications today on all the app stores, Android, Apple, et cetera. And all these apps are going indoors. Your airline apps, your museum apps, your conference apps, business campus apps. Everything is going indoors, and one of the enabling reasons is the availability of indoor map data. And in a sense, we're envisioning a world where there'll be thousands of applications that can help you navigate indoor places, find things that are relevant, really get the information you need indoors, especially since 80% of our time is spent indoors. I know many of you probably struggle to get here because of all the taxi cab issues outside, and but you still spent maybe an hour getting here, but you're spending 8 to 10 hours inside this facility, and then another hour going back outside. So the majority of your time is indoors, and we're trying to help build those experiences through indoor maps.
Hi, everyone. Chris Broadfoot. I work on the Google Maps API team. So I help developers like these gentlemen to the right of me create indoor maps. So for me, indoor maps are an extension of the greater mapping world. So I'm interested in how we can provide context to indoor maps by layering them on top of maps of the world. and not only providing maps on mobile devices, but also on desktop. So, of course, indoor maps are most useful when you're on your phone, but I think they're also incredibly useful when you're on your desktop, for example, planning a trip. So if I want driving directions to a shopping mall and from there, you know, to somehow get directions from the garage to where I'm going. So the full sort of planning life cycle.
So, Ankit, I got a question for you. Where do indoor maps come from? If I wanted to make an indoor map of this building, you know, where does that content come from? And why is it not just flowing around there already? Why hasn't this been out there for years? What's new?
Well, the funny thing is that indoor maps exist, right? For every building in the world, or at least in the U.S., you have at least all the CAD drawings. You have the architectural plans that were used to construct the building. The problem is that the CAD drawings in their current shape are, one, very heavy. You know, they're megabytes, 10, 15, 20 megabytes large. And they have a lot of detail which an ordinary person who is navigating a building doesn't need. For example, if I look around this room, there's a lot of detail on the pillars and some of the door, and some of just there's a lot of detail on the CADs that just doesn't make sense to load on a mobile phone. On the other hand, you have outdoor maps, which typically show the building footprint and some more detail. So there's a space in the middle that we're trying to fill, which is almost people-friendly map, lightweight, efficient, that load quickly, and show the right amount of detail at the right time. In terms of making it, it's really trying to take all the different things that are out there, emergency floor plans, CAD drawings, artist rendition, shopping mall floor plans, whatever you can use to understand what a building looks like, and then figuring out and kind of fixing it to make it into a proper GIS-type format. So the magic, I think, for all the companies here is taking really unstructured, random data and putting it into a format that is structured, uniform, and easy to use for everybody else.
Cool. So in addition to having this map content in the outdoor maps that we're used to now, our GPS devices, we're used to having this little blue dot on there that says not only this is what the building or this is what the place looks like, but this is where you actually are in it right now. Does GPS work inside? And if not, you know, what are our alternatives there?
Yeah, so good question. GPS does not work inside, and there's a lot of solutions that are coming out to the forefront today. A lot of smaller companies have some very unique solutions that require Wi-Fi calibration or Bluetooth 4.0 connectivity. NFC is obviously a de facto location technology, so there's a lot of horizons out there. I know at Point Inside, our particular money's on the people that came up with GPS. For instance, the Qualcomms, the Broadcoms, the CSRs, Surfs, all those guys end up solving the problem with the assistance of Cisco and Motorola and Ekahau and a few other Wi-Fi players. So, and actually, Google also has several different Wi-Fi solutions embedded in their indoor maps today, and eventually they might expose those to application developers. So it's coming. That blue dot, you know, they, for some reason, it didn't debut until just recently, and I say that because notoriously, LBS has not made money. It's taken a long time for it to make money, and when you're talking about having to deploy technology to create a blue dot that is 10 meters accurate or 3 meters accurate, you need some sort of business model around funding that exercise. And so, thankfully, I think we're at a point where you now have the maps, you have a blue dot, and you have content organized around this ecosystem that enables the most prominent business model to exist, which would be advertising in context or maybe utility-type services with respect to navigation.
I think on that point, from the developer perspective, one thing that I'd really like to see is just native support for this kind of stuff. So just using HTML5 geolocation or just the geolocation APIs in the phone, and that would just be brilliant, I think.
Yeah. Let me add from a slightly different perspective. Josh mentioned a bunch of some of the bigger companies that are working on it. One of the exciting trends that we're seeing. I think in the last 12 months, we've spoken to probably 15 to 18 startups, five to 10 people companies. They're either based in the Bay Area, or there's like a couple in every European country that are trying to solve the indoor positioning problem. And I think it's a very well-recognized problem that GPS doesn't work indoors, and we need some level of some more detail indoors. The interesting challenge from a mapping and indoor positioning, sort of looking at them together, is the mapping companies know how many floors a building has, whereas the indoor positioning companies know how high you are off the ground, the Z level. And there is some work happening on making sure that the maps and the positioning can speak to one another and have a common language to talk to. Otherwise, if you're using an API from any positioning company and it tells you you are 35 meters off the ground, is that level 3, 4, 5? You don't know. Mm-hmm. So I think there is some collaboration that's beginning to happen, which I think will spur the adoption of these kinds of technologies.
I guess maybe we have to think about not 3D positioning, but sort of like a 2.5D sort of thing where you've, you know, just got X, Y, and some floor. That's probably more useful for the indoor mapping use case.
Yeah, and I'd go farther. In terms of horizons for all you developers out there, I think you can expect that in 2013 you're going to see a lot of handsets ship with technologies that are location, indoor location enabled, and eventually they'll migrate to the native APIs. That Chris talked about. The interesting thing that we're going to see is it'll evolve very much like the GPS and assisted GPS ecosystem evolved, which was you had to get your solution from various different chipset suppliers and OEMs, and it was very federated in terms of an ecosystem, whereas today on any device, whether it's an Apple device or an Android device or BlackBerry device, you now have one streamlined set of APIs or three streamlined set of APIs, but in essence, it's available to you. I think in 2012, 2013, you're going to see a bunch of technologies and APIs out there that allow you to embed libraries that do indoor location and that blue dot. But as a group, all the people in this room, we need to be thinking about moving towards a more standards-based way of getting there, particularly on the HTML5 side and the native sides.
So one of the questions I've seen coming through, and by the way, if you haven't noticed, the hashtag for this session is SXIndoorNav. One of the questions I came along here was, I need help finding my wife inside buildings. and so that's not really a navigation thing. You know, navigation is finding how to get from point A to point B. So what are some of the other applications beyond navigation that using tools like indoor maps and indoor positioning this is going to change our lives?
We probably all have a few favorites. For us, let me just ask out in the audience, are there any retailers in the audience or anybody that works in retail or retail space? Okay, so we got a few. For us, it's really about that micro location and in the aisle. And our favorite application, you know, I'm biased, obviously, is Meijer, who's a 200-store big box chain in 5 states. And so they have 220,000 square foot facilities, the size of Walmart. And our technology's been able to order the shopping list as you move throughout the store. Stuff like that, I think, is very, very helpful as a father of 4 daughters who is asked to shop every single night. And I'd love to save some time. So that's a favorite one. We also have a hospital one that essentially shows you how to get and check into your appointment. And that's proven to be able to save hospitals $11 million a year if they can just remind you where your appointment is, how to get from the parking lot to the desk to check in. So things like that, you know, make money, and that's always a good thing. And then there's a lot of great ones that I haven't seen them integrate indoor maps, but here I suspect Sonar and some other applications where it's Friend Finder. I can't wait for those things to come about because, you know, that's a find your wife in the mall and maybe potentially put a freeze on her credit card.
So, Chris, you help a lot of developers, not only on indoor maps, but on outdoor maps as well.
Yeah.
So you've got kind of this perspective of things that people do beyond navigation outdoors. What are some of those that are, you know, really powerful things that people are doing with outdoor maps, and how might some of those things translate over to the indoor world?
Right, so I think the most interesting things that I've been seeing are probably, but also common, university campus maps. So it's quite a lot of data, generally quite a large campus. So I think it's the University of Missouri have real-time tracking of their shuttles on campus. So it'd be really interesting to see this sort of, you know, tracking of some sort of useful assets for students or people on campus indoors as well. Yeah, so that's for me, that's sort of the next step.
Let me add one application. I've been sort of thinking through something that I thought was really interesting. We were working with a hospital group, and one of the first things they said to us was, you know what, forget technology. We're a hospital, right? We need something that works for everybody. So we were presenting them iPads and iPhones and Androids and all kinds of stuff, and they said, they just told us to slow down. And they said, imagine a scenario like this. You walk into a hospital, you are greeted by somebody who asks you where you want to go, and you tell them, I'm looking for this. You know, it could be I'm looking for this room, or I'm looking to go to this section of the hospital. And the visitor, sorry, the person at the hospital would just click on a map and then hit Control P and print out a physical printed copy of the map and hand it over to you with turn-by-turn directions on where to go. Right? And I think I was, when I heard that example, I thought, how cool is that? I mean, that's something that works for everybody who is inside a venue. So it's not just about digital, but to some degree, printing out custom maps for people as opposed to a standard static banner type that's you know, where you're struggling to find where you are, but more of a custom experience in the indoor environment.
And I think in terms of planning as well, I sort of touched on that before. It'd be really interesting to see some sort of simple solution to a traveling salesman problem. So often when you're indoors, you're on foot, right? For example, in a shopping center, walking around the aisles over and over like the companies love you to, if you could plan out your shopping route beforehand, that would be incredible, I think.
Excellent. So speaking of shopping routes, so there, Josh, you mentioned there are a lot of things kind of on the horizon, 2013 timeline, where all of this will be integrated into our smartphones. But there are some other solutions that are out there right now that use some really, I don't know if I want to call them clever hacks, but use some of the other sensors that were not necessarily intended to do positioning on there. And we had a question about some of the kind of the science behind it. So can you guys discuss some of the things like ShopKick and ByteLight and some of these other really interesting ways of doing positioning that don't necessarily rely on a satellite?
Yeah, I'll let you guys cover ByteLight because I don't know enough about it. But ShopKick uses an inaudible frequency emitted from just a battery-powered thing plugged into the ceiling. So that's one way to do proximity. And proximity is a great way to do indoor location and indoor marketing. In addition to that, NFC is a great way to do it. Sometimes you just need to know that you're next to a product, not necessarily at a specific latitude, longitude. Bluetooth 4.0 is coming out, and Nokia is probably going to support that big time in terms of indoor location. The science behind Wi-Fi has been decent to date. Basically, there's a couple solutions out there. One is Wi-Fi triangulation. For people in our industry, you don't always know where the access points are located latitude, longitude-wise, and so therefore you may not have the ability to do triangulation. So you fall back on something called Wi-Fi fingerprinting, which is you just walk around a lot, you take a fingerprint of a particular floor. Based on the fact that you have the map, which is key to all of this stuff, then you're able to create a fingerprint of the floor and do some sort of a reverse calculation of where your position is. I think what has come out sooner rather than later in these solutions and been publicly available thanks to the companies like Google who are on the forefront of exposing different APIs is the sensors. We've gotten a lot of use out of, and I know Marcelo has as well, a lot of use out of the gyros and the accelerometers. And being able to fuse compass data with gyroscope data and accelerometers and get a 9-axis representation of where you are allows you to do dead reckoning, which in essence is just step counting and figuring out what direction you're walking in. So you check in every so often with the map or with some other third system And then in between those two points, you can use what they call sensor fusion to figure out where you are. So there's a lot of great, clever ideas out there, and there's probably a few more that we haven't, you know, even come across yet.
I'm actually also more familiar with Shopkick, but coming back to BiteLite, they're a company based in Boston. They're trying to use the light bulb and they want to replace every light bulb in the world with their special light bulb that would keep track of where you are and some way feed that information back. I think they're pretty early, and I definitely need to go learn more about them. But Shopkick, from my mind, on day one, was an indoor positioning company. They were using sound to do it. And as Josh mentioned, there's just an amazing number of companies who are really trying to exploit any and every way to touch a device, whether it's through Wi-Fi, through all the different sensors on the phone, there was a company trying to use the TV spectrum, there's radio, there's any possible way, Bluetooth from Nokia, any possible way that you can touch the phone is being exploited for indoor positioning.
I think Color, the photo sharing app, was using sound as well. To recognize whether you're in the same room as someone else, so it could be exploited for similar for indoor positioning as well.
Yeah, that brings up a good point. When you, I didn't know this, but when you break down the insides of a phone, there are something like 19 sensors inside of a phone, including battery temperature and display light. Microphone, all those things, and so that's where the clever part comes in.
And so in addition to tracking smartphones, there are other things out there that we want to know their location inside places. So there are a few things that have been used, RFID, infrared tags that can help you locate assets and are much cheaper than strapping a smartphone to all of your stuff. I know on the retail side, that's kind of been talked about for a while. I was waiting to be able to walk out of a Walmart and just have my cart full of stuff, and it would tell me what I had to pay and just charge me for that. Is there a holdup with RFID or other similar tagging technologies for objects? As far as why isn't that on everything right now?
RFID was really, the reason it wasn't adopted was a cost issue. I think the price per was about 7 to 10 cents or something, and then when the companies went to Walmart and others, it, on a margin basis, it just wouldn't fly. So, and this was, I think, almost 4 or 5 years ago, and I haven't seen it come back since then, mainly because it's just too expensive.
Yeah, it was expensive in terms of battery as well, because you obviously have to activate the RFID, so you have to create some sort of an inductive coupling, which is not something you want. You don't want readers floating around everywhere trying to ask questions. Now, NFC's obviously optimized that in a very big way, but I don't think RFID is practical in addition to the cost issues.
Excellent. So we've got a couple other questions coming up here on the list, but wanted to see if we could open this up to the rest of the group here to do some Q&A. So I think we've got a few microphones around the space, so if you have any other questions, you can come up there. Let's see, we've got a few coming across here. Someone wanted me to say augmented? Augmented reality? All right, that's good. We got it for you. Very cool.
Comment on that? Is that where you want
to... Sure, yeah. Augmented guy. What did you want to know about augmented?
I'm just curious about the visual track and the way the role you mentioned having bad models in cyberspaces.
So when you say visual tracking, being able to do image processing and maybe hold up your smartphone and say, I know, based on the geometry that my device can see, being able to locate yourself against kind of this reference library of, hey, there's an exit sign, hey, there's something else. Is that along those lines? Very cool.
Yeah, great idea. That means you're indexing the entire physical world, which would be very very difficult, but I think that's an example of a clever use of sensors and things like that. Somebody who has a skill like Google could probably pull that off. At Point Inside, we're a little more, we see that low tech gets the job done oftentimes over high tech.
Yeah, I think positioning using cameras would also be quite accurate, especially if you know the properties of the lens and the camera that the photo is taken from. But the other consideration, of course, is what do you do in the dark when the sensor's not working very well, white balance issues. But yeah, I think there's great possibility there.
I think there's a company called Nearby Systems, funded by Motorola, that's been looking into that.
Mm. Yeah, they use a combination of Wi-Fi and closed circuit cameras in a retail setting to track people as they move throughout the aisle. That's a clever one. And then on the flip side of that, in terms of augmented reality, a lot of our customers come to us and ask, you know, when they can implement an augmented reality solution, as in holding out the phone and maybe looking at different products in the aisle. Obviously, you have to have a map, and you have to understand what's in that map in terms of layers of information. That's all solved today. The issue really has been twofold. One, you need a very accurate blue dot because you have to know where you are. We're talking about micro-location in this sense. There's no room for error. And then on top of that, you have to have a lot of good trust in the phone sensors from a heading or orientation standpoint, because you can't make gross errors that you can in the outdoor world and get away with it. So that's something that, you know, now rotation vectors are available through the Google APIs that might help out a little bit, but it's a promising technology again for 2013, but here today in 2012, it's really about just, if you're a retailer, you got to get ready for all of these things coming by getting organized with respect to your content and the solutions that you want to implement to make money for you.
So one of the... Yes, sir. Would you mind going over to the microphone? We can all hear you, and it'll be on the recording and stuff, too. Thank you.
So just a real simple question. If I'm a retailer like Macy's, I'm sure they want me to get confused and lost so I see more things. Would they resist your technology, or why would they welcome providing the content to allow you to develop the apps?
Yeah, no, that's a fair question. So we're a Seattle-based company, and down the street from us is Costco. Nobody wants you to get lost more than Costco. So we're very familiar that there are different ends of the spectrum with respect to how much they're going to help out. But if you're talking about somebody like Macy's, whose target customer is probably my wife, who's got kids, the reality is the more time you can save my wife, the more money she's going to spend in that store. And so there's a strong tailwind for implementing these types of solutions. To just increase basket size, increase share of wallet, and potentially make some ad revenue along the way.
I think with positioning aside, these sort of maps can be crowdsourced as well, right? Companies don't own the layout of their property.
Let me also add to that. There's another angle for retailers, which is the shoppers who are going in are using mobile devices, and when the person is inside your store, if they have their phone on, you would want them to be using your application. So in the last year, pretty much every major retailer has an iPhone app. And now they're working on ways to make that application more sticky, more engaging. And through location and mapping, you're providing, in a sense, a very compelling piece of information for someone to use your application as opposed to using something else. So it's about creating that channel or that open communication or a way where you can send information to somebody who is inside your store.
So I work for a company that, you know, we're a CPAG firm making a product that has been around for just over 100 years. And the single biggest problem that we have is that 70% of our users who don't have our product wish they did and have been in a position to buy it within the last 24 hours. But they don't come in contact with it. So we're a gum company, right? Where we make gum, and my biggest challenge is to try and figure out how to get people in contact with our product at that, and to make them more sort of aware that it's available. When I think about some of the indoor navigation things you've been talking about, it's really easy to see solutions for when people know that they're looking for something. But it's a lot harder to figure out, you know, how can I use this to get people in touch with my product when they don't know they want it or when they don't anticipate that they're going to want it. You talk a little bit about, you know, sort of the push and pull trade-offs that might be involved in getting people closer to where they want to be, even if they don't know they quite want to be there.
Yeah. Did you say CPG? You're a consumer product? packaged goods? Okay. So that's obviously, I mean, that's, we love that space. That's our wheelhouse in the sense that that's our mission in life. We call it A prime in some sense. So if we have your shopping list and we know what you're going to buy in the store, then we can basically try to figure out the products that you are missing out on between point A and point B. And we do that in a way of, we have a recommendation engine that takes all of these physical signals that you're offering up as a shopper, and we institute this on behalf of the retail banner, because our whole belief is that the retailer is really missing out, to what Ankit just said. The retailer is missing out in today's world on a large opportunity to connect with the shopper on mobile, and they're being disintermediated by all these direct-to-consumer plays. And so we offer a solution for them to put in place a system that allows all of these suppliers, CPG suppliers, to advertise or to promote their products in a way that corresponds to the shopping list, corresponds to your location, corresponds to things that you left off your list that they know that you bought due to loyalty and things like that. All of those signals are physical signals. They're not online signals. And those physical signals go into what we call our recommendation engine, and they essentially suggest that A-prime product that you probably were missing out on. And we're seeing a huge adoption on the consumer side with respect to their ability to take that product, put it in the basket, and potentially save a couple bucks.
There's a startup called Euclid Elements that's kind of interesting as well. While not truly an indoor positioning play, they do this interesting thing called where they track anonymously visitors to different stores. So I think they're looking at Wi-Fi SSIDs, but so maybe they know that you were at a Starbucks at some point, and then they see you walking into the local Rite Aid. And they know something about you because you're both a Starbucks and a Rite Aid customer. And so I think as we get deeper into this, we can start to make these interesting conclusions when we have a massive amount of data and recommending products to people or allowing brands and retailers to better target their things to people. Yes, sir?
You talked a little bit about Wi-Fi triangulation and Wi-Fi fingerprinting. Is there a leader in an API, or are there companies that specialize in offering those services for other developers or web services? Is there an API space?
Wow, we wouldn't be doing our job if we didn't mention our field colleague to show up. Kubulus,
Q-U-B-U-L-U-S.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll tweet that out so you can see it.
Yeah, they're definitely one company in the space that I think we all like. They have a good solution. Poor Ants, he couldn't make it today, but hopefully he's feeling better. And then I'm sure there are several others. I think eventually you'll see Google open up their APIs. I'm sure, Chris, you probably can't talk about that, but
of course I can't talk about that.
Yeah.
But from a personal perspective, I'd love to see that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I love enabling developers to build these kind of apps for themselves, and positioning is a large part of that.
With Wi-Fi fingerprinting, somebody actually has to go and do the fingerprinting. So there's just a number of companies out there, and I kind of see it as if there's a customer in play, right? There's a hospital group where there's somebody who is sponsoring that activity of creating the fingerprint. We can kind of start getting all those fingerprints together. To some degree, you also need the map to make that happen. And it helps knowing where you are when you take a particular fingerprint. It's very fragmented right now. So you can take an API from one of the companies, but expect it to consolidate in the next couple years.
I guess the other thing to consider is not every building is the same. Some buildings won't have network connectivity. Some buildings will have slow network. So you have to think about whether these fingerprints, where they're going to come from, where this API is going to exist, sort of what layer it's going to exist on. Those are hard questions to answer.
Yeah, that's a great point, because we have to walk usually these retail customers through the IT purchasing process of all this equipment. And they don't, oftentimes they think that it's about guest network access, and they forget about the location component to all this. And location requires a higher density deployment of Wi-Fi if you're really going to do it right. And so we spend at least a quarter of our time with the retail customers consulting with respect to what to choose and how to deploy and how to take their 2 year ago generation solution and evolve into location.
Hi, James Rowley from AMV. We've been doing some prototyping, and one of the problems we ran across with Wi-Fi fingerprinting is that the iPhone doesn't allow you to get access to the Wi-Fi. So that was my first question, just to see kind of how you guys are going to get around that. Second question is accuracy. At the moment, it's about 5-10 meters. Just wanted to know kind of if it's going to get better, if you can get it a sub-meter. So a couple of questions there.
So to answer your first question, do we have anyone in the room who has that magic Apple lever where, like, if you want Apple to do something? Because if so, we need to talk. It's a big challenge. So right now, the indoor positioning APIs that are available are Android only. It's totally possible to do it on an iPhone. All the sensors are there. I think the hooks actually in the development kit are there, but you cannot publish an app to the App Store. That takes advantage of them. For the same reason that you can't publish a Wi-Fi signal strength measurement tool. So if you know a way to solve it, that would be awesome, because we'd love to use it.
Yeah, so let's talk about the root cause of that, right? In 2009 or somewhere in there, Apple took away the right for developers to listen to Wi-Fi, which is what you're referencing. And then they left it documented until 4.3.2 or somewhere in that ballpark, and now they've even taken it out in terms of documentation. The reason is they see a huge value in indoor positioning. They know that Wi-Fi is the key. And so, it's not by accident that they're doing that. They want a monopoly on that, and they should. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what I would do. That's what we're all trying to do. We're trying to say there's huge value there. So the question is then, how do you get around it? For us, because the iPhone is still a very popular platform, iOS across the board, in retail situations, we usually have to interface with the WLAN controller, the wireless LAN infrastructure, and do network-based positioning. So we have to establish the blue dot for the iOS situation from the network side point of view, which is a real pain in the ass because it requires network hops and a little bit more battery drain. But eventually, the hope is that indoor location becomes ubiquitous and valuable enough, and we do it well enough on Android that Apple feels the pressure to release those APIs. That's the only way I can see this working out, unless we all just go out and, you know, boycott iPhone, which ain't going to happen anytime
soon.
Yeah,
we could take an optimistic view and hope that they're working on an API for this, right?
You could.
To answer your second question, how much better is it going to get from the 5 to 10? As Josh mentioned earlier, it's really driven by the business case, right? And I think at the forefront use case right now is doing indoor positioning in a department store. So typically, if you're looking for aisle level accuracy, which translates to about 2 meter level, which also happens to be the width of a hallway 2 to 3 meters in a college campus building or in a business campus. So that seems to be the target where the moment, if there's a positioning company that can deliver that at scale, the business cases can be built on top for why it should be deployed. Now, going further into sub-meter, like less than 1 meter, it's possible, but you're spending a lot more money to get to that level of positioning, and the business cases don't differ as much from 1 to 2. It's like, if you're going to keep going further, what do you really get in return is the question. I think there's definitely use cases, but they're more extreme.
You're probably looking at specialized equipment as well at that stage.
That's true. UWB or whatever. But to answer your question, the stated goal from the big chipset guys is 3 meter accuracy 90% of the time.
Cool. Thank you.
I'm curious, do you think there's a... almost like a glass ceiling of how much data you're going to be able to map out? So let's take Washington, D.C., for example. We can easily make a map of everything that's in D.C., the Pentagon, the Washington Monument, but we know for a second that there's no way we're going to be able to look inside and see the floor plan for the Pentagon or really any building in Washington, D.C., or in many other cities around the country. And that's just for federal government-wide security reasons, much less retailers wanting to protect how they have things laid out, want to make you work hard to actually see how they have their store set up. Do you see other limitations, or are we going to be able to pull up a map and look at everything around us, like in Google Maps, or is it really only going to get to, you know, like a 50% saturation because of all those other limitations?
So it sounds like there are kind of two questions and two reasons in there. One is the privacy side, and the other is the usefulness. So we work with a few hospitals and universities, and there is a lot of questions on that side. On the privacy side, a lot of hospitals don't want you, or for security reasons, it's not a good idea to let you know where everything is, where all the expensive equipment is. On HIPAA sides, they're not going to geotag each patient and tell you, hey, Bob Smith's over here. On the utility side as well, there are some things, as Ankit mentioned, as far as map detail goes, general people trying to do navigation, we don't need to know where all the pillars are. We don't need to know where all of the HVAC systems and the wiring is running through the building. So I think balancing those two pieces out, the needs for privacy and really the utility that needs to be delivered, will kind of determine what is out there and what is not.
So let me take your question on scale, because that's something we think about every day, on how many maps do we have, how many more can we add, how quickly can we do every interesting building. So to put it in perspective, there was a company in the late 90s that was doing indoor mapping. I forget the name, but they made like 5 or 10 or somewhere in that range number of maps. There was another company from 2003 to 2007 called Map Network, which was acquired by Navtech. They, in their life, made about 50, maybe 100 or so maps, right? 50 or 104 years, right? And now there's the next set of companies, companies like us who are focusing on the mapping piece. We're approaching 10,000 or so locations. Now, is that the world? No, but it's a start, and it's a way to bring indoor positioning and indoor mapping at a scale that hasn't been seen before. Now, we're focused on figuring, we very much prioritize our maps based on the end use case. If we talk to a retailer, their maps will go to the top of our queue. If we see there's a customer interested in college campuses, that'll go to the top. A hospital group comes in, that'll go to the top. So it's really based on where will people actually use the data, and focused on those places first. So other locations like storage facilities, parking garages, they're interesting to us, but we're not spending as much time there yet, because there's other high priority locations to start with first, and then sort of trickle into all the other building and venue types that are out there.
So the thing that I'm interested in is also enabling any developer. So there's thousands and thousands of Android developers out there, and if each of those could build an indoor map for a particular location, that would be amazing. That's just the way to scale this stuff, to make it a commodity, right? So anyone can do it. And on your other point about the Pentagon, it'd be really interesting to see different levels of access for indoor maps as well. So a public map for anyone that opens the app, and then varying levels of access depending on whatever Apple, something like that. So there's a huge enterprise use case here.
I definitely want to echo that point, because it's very important to show multiple layers of detail. So a hospital wants more of a sectional level map for visitors, but a hyper detail room level for their employees. Same thing for a retailer. Maybe an aisle, maybe a sectional level for retail, but down to the individual shelf and bins for their own internal use cases. So I think that's a very important piece that's driving the amount of detail that's being shown on the maps.
It's also a bit more than just the indoor map as well, showing resources and other layers on top of the indoor map is amazing as well.
I do want to comment on one other comment that he made. There is an approach where you can crowdsource indoor maps. I mean, there's the open street map community that's beginning to look at it. Companies, Sony Ericsson has a tool for developers to use. I believe Building Layer is working on something like that as well. I think it really depends on what problem you're trying to solve. What we've learned from our customers is people love to use maps, so we've built the process to do it very quickly and make it available. Now, definitely, we get requests from people, can I make my own map? And I'm like, look, I can do it probably faster for you before it'll take you even time to learn the tool.
Yeah.
So it's really a balance, and I think it's just more choice that'll be made available for people.
Yep. Thank you.
I'd just say the glass ceiling that we see, or the ceiling we see on indoor mapping, is driven by business. And we, unfortunately, we encourage the retailer to keep the map to themselves. And the reason why is it can be used in so many different ways against them in this war between the online and the offline. And so this idea of showrooming or scan and scram, the one asset they have is that physical space. They spent all that money getting you there. Why would they pay anybody else to keep that person there? And so, you know, there's going to be a ceiling in the sense that a lot of these spaces, whether it's business-driven or security-driven, they're going to want to have the maps only accessible and copyrighted, which will be the governing law here, available to them.
I both agree and disagree with the Josh. The first part I agree with, that in the retail world, absolutely, it's definitely in their mind to want to keep the data private to them, and I think that makes sense. The second part, I think looking a little bit further long term, one of the things that's interesting is building a potential environment where that particular retailer's map data or product data is available to other companies to build experiences, to build additional experiences with. So it's not that the map is made once and used just by that one retailer, but it could be, and that could be where it starts, but potentially in the future, it's opened up to maybe a selective group of companies, and then maybe it opens up further.
Yeah, and I think we've seen projects like OpenStreetMap totally change this arena, right? No longer can people feel safe that, oh, this is my data. Things like maps can be, just by walking around, you can start to map things. And so I think we'll start to see that soon.
And to add one more thing to the ceiling question there, I think there's still a very long way that we can go. It's a question of what is valuable. So one of the big questions that's come up on the OpenStreetMap side is, should indoor maps be 3D? You know, we're operating in 3D space. As Ankit mentioned, we have multiple floors, and maybe those are Z positions. But at what point does that data become too much to be useful? And I think at some point we'll have the capability of doing that at scale. There's some pretty interesting LiDAR technologies out there to very similar to Street View, where you can send someone with a LiDAR backpack to walk through a building, and you can have not only imagery, but an actual 3D model of what is going on. And then you can get deeper into tagging every single item inside a building. So I think there's definitely a long way to go. But right now, it's really finding what's most useful and most valuable.
I've seen those backpacks in action, and they're awesome. I think there's a professor at UC Berkeley who has, I think, a bunch of graduate students working on this, and they've taken into account everything about how the human body moves from your shoulder, from all the different directions, and they've built that in so that when you walk down the hallway, the imagery that's captured is, you know, perfectly horizontal and accurate. It's really neat stuff. In R&D, definitely the form, it's like 45 or 50 pounds, so it's pretty heavy to walk through a building with it, but as that stuff evolves, I think that'll be really neat.
I guess the other consideration is actually using that data in a useful way. As a user, I'm not sure that a complete 3D model of a building is incredibly useful. I think 2.5D covers probably 80% of the use case. And particularly sending all that data down to a mobile phone where you're often on an indoor map, is probably quite taxing. So we'll probably have to see high bandwidth in phones soon.
Hey, how you doing? So I want to continue this part about the OpenStreetView versus Google Maps and that sort of thing. I work for a startup in New York that does map-based media consumption on apps. And we're obviously very interested in more of the public spaces. As a New Yorker, I'd love to be able to find my way around a New York City subway system on my phone. As an app developer, you know, we're looking at public spaces or stuff like museums and that sort of thing. So where is the indoor map for a public space going to come from? Obviously, with a retailer, they'll spend the money to map out a Costco, but you know, who's going to spend the money to map out a New York City subway? And when they do, when we do map it, how do we kind of use an open map to make it available to app developers who aren't developing specifically for a retailer? So right now we use Google Maps, obviously. It's awesome for all the outdoor stuff we can do. But, you know, we're thinking about open streets because, you know, you guys want to start charging us for the maps. Not a lot, and it's fine. But where you can't drive one of your Street View cars into the, you know, Museum of Modern Art or anything like that. But when those maps are available, how do we? Where's the future going to be for kind of making group available maps that include indoor and outdoor spaces going to be? Is it going to be Google? Is it going to be open maps? Is it going to be something else?
For free, right?
Or for a reasonable cost.
Yeah.
So I can't really speak to the indoor maps team. I don't work on the indoor maps team. But yeah, I would definitely love to see this accessible on a Google map. But yeah, I'm sort of really interested for people to do this themselves, essentially. Either doing it themselves or passing it on to someone else to do. I guess the thing is, it's incredibly valuable data.
I think at some point we'll end up giving away our maps. So we have the MoMA map. We have all these maps. You know, we have a Point Inside application that has 1,500 of the most popular places mapped. And we've seen that even when you look at those 1,500 venues, I'm sure Google Maps sees this all the time in terms of the data, 90% of the traffic's coming from 10% of the maps. So we've kind of limited the amount of mapping we're going to do as a company and eventually going to just turn that stuff over to the public. And then Micello obviously has a big business in mapping as well and probably is reasonable in terms of app developers.
In terms of Street View, I believe there is a team at Google that maps out indoor spaces of various venues. I think you can even request request your venue to be mapped. And of course, you can use the Street View API to add in your own imagery and link it up to the Google imagery. So you could walk in from the street into your own building and have that available on your app, even without getting the Google guys to come in and take photos of it. And so that's really powerful because you can lay any information you want over that Street View as well. So you could have some sort of arrows or something laid over the images. I think Nissan did a really cool, it was like a little marketing site that had something similar. Yeah.
We're looking at the open street map stuff very carefully and trying to figure out how we can play in that world. I mean, maps for us, I mean, it costs money, right? In the end, we're incurring a cost to create the content, and then every map we add increases our overall cost because we have to keep the data current. So there has to be some business reason that's driving the creation of this content, for at least for us. But I do suspect there are some ways, and I can talk to you more offline, about how we might be able to play in that world. But if you're looking for a reasonable price for indoor maps, I mean, we have pretty reasonable prices, so you can check us out.
Cool. Thank you.
So you guys are all talking about maps. But as a consumer, and GPS being so widespread, people want directions inside of spaces, so how long before that comes along?
It's here. I mean, we do it. I think Micello does it. Google's probably going to start adding it to their indoor maps. But yeah, it's if you go into any sort, like again, if you go into our application today and you want directions from point A to point B in an airport, say, to figure it out, I mean, we've solved it. We don't give you text directions because on the mobile it just didn't make sense at the time. We have a text direction engine that we can expose for hospitals and places like that. It was tricky because you have to take into consideration one-way escalators, security at airports, things like that. So it was an interesting problem to solve. But it's here, and it's just technology at the end of the day. I know you have a navigation engine, we have one.
You can do it yourself as well. There's so many open source tools that do this. For example, if you already have your data in Postgres, you can use PG routing, which will do routing. There's a Python, I forget what it's called. There's like a Python graph, it's called Graph Server. And so the other great thing about this is once you've got your directions going inside the building, you can augment it with directions, say, from Google to go from the, you know, wherever the person is to the outside of your building and then hook that up to your indoor directions. So you could get directions from someone's house directly to an aisle in a shopping center, something like that.
So we offer the APIs for people to access our map data. All of our maps have the navigation data as well, multi-level, as Josh mentioned, one-way directions on escalators, security, et cetera. And we expose that through our APIs as well. So it's out there.
Thanks.
And that the base algorithm for most of this stuff is called A*STAR. So if you're a developer and you want to just go out and create your own kind of home world solution, just look up A*STAR and you can get the basis.
Yeah, or look at the code for GraphServer. It uses A*STAR.
That's easier.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm also at a startup, and we're interested in very private spaces, like people's houses. And you mentioned, we've talked about Google Maps or Google Street View and also the idea of crowdsourcing. So I'm wondering if there's any way to make some kind of a system that would enable an end user or some kind of person who works for a company that would interface with the end user at their house to sort of take pictures, maybe with a smartphone or something, and generate an indoor map from those pictures. Or if it's not like a detailed map, just maybe a wireframe that they could go in and then add information to. So do you know anyone who's doing...
That sounds very much like the real estate market, right? I mean, anytime a house goes up for sale, there's a map that's available for kind of like a graphic showing what the layout looks like.
Okay.
From our perspective at Mycelo, we're not as interested in mapping out people's houses. Again, it comes to the use case of it's good for four people who live there, as opposed to a place like a shopping mall or an airport that has this more traffic.
But if you lost something, you could find it on the street view. That would be cool.
There's definitely use. I mean, it's there. I mean, there's reasons. I mean, from our perspective, we're agnostic, right? Whether it's a house or an apartment complex or a shopping mall, it really depends on what the business case is. And we could map it out. It's just a matter of is it really worth it for us?
Yeah.
There are a bunch of tools out there. This my favorite tool is a company called Floor Planner.
Okay.
That lets you create those kind of things.
Cool. So I did at last year's Google I/O. I did a talk on this. So essentially, taking your own imagery and putting it into a panorama and augmenting that into the Street View, the Google Street View service. So that's just look for that. I think it's called Map Your Business Inside Out. And there's also another screencast showing how to do this with the Street View service in the Google Maps API. It's really simple. Yeah,
that's great. Thanks so much.
I just want to make a quick comment. I see a tweet there on business needs dominating the discussion. User needs or business needs provide a useful experience. I very much agree. I think the scenario that I think at least. Speaking for myself, that I'm coming from is we're envisioning a world where consumers don't pay for indoor maps, so somebody else has to, and that's the business discussion that I think we're talking about.
Yeah. Real quick, I think we got about two more minutes going, so.
Hi.
Last up. First up.
Well, we are from a startup. We do a web app for commercial real estate, and we were working with Fusion Tables and Google Maps API. Version 3, and the question is, we work with the Street View indoor, so is there any plan to use Fusion Tables and indoor Street View?
Not aware of how that would work, I can't comment on future plans anyway, but I'm not sure how that would work, but yeah, we can talk after.
Okay, thank you.
I certainly wouldn't know, but...
My spies haven't told me yet.
I'll tell you later.
Excellent. Well, I really want to thank you all for coming. I think we're going to be up here for a few minutes, so... Okay.